I am excited about this morning. So we are starting our relationship series, but this is going to be a little bit unconventional and a little bit different, right? So I'm not going to talk about the normal stuff. God gave me something that I see popping up everywhere. And God said, maybe it's time to address this. So God wants to open up your life. He wants to free you. And he wants you to live in that freedom. And that's why I'm excited. Because God wants to make your life easier. So that's great, right? So I thought I would just set the scene a little bit. And because I'm going to talk about something a little bit unconventional. So the title of my message is Stop the mediation and face the confrontation. Okay, who here likes confrontation? Nobody, right? Nobody likes confrontation, right? So I thought I would set the scene and just go through two or three scriptures to show you what I'm not going to talk about. Okay, so this does not relate to that, okay? So, I am fully aware of Matthew 18, where God says, forgive 70 times 70. And I love it. I practice that in my own life. But this does not apply. This scripture does not apply to what I'm going to talk about today, okay? I know that in Proverbs, it's full of kind words that heal, and a gentle word soothes the soul, and is honey to your body, and all those kinds of things, and kind words are like honey. Gentle words brings life and health. And I completely agree with that. But sometimes life gives you confrontation. And it doesn't matter how many nice words you give. And it doesn't matter how many times you turn to the other side and you give them the other side of your cheek. It doesn't matter because there's still confrontation, okay? And so I support those scriptures, but we're not going to include those with us today because this is not going to be applicable to the situation that I want to talk about today, okay? So what I want to talk about is situations in your life with people that you dearly love, okay? The confrontation with the people that you love the most. So the people that you want to protect, the people that's in your waka, the people that's in your inner circle, okay? Most of the time, this will be your immediate family or your extended family, but people in your family circles, or it might be great friends, people that you've got great friendship with, your best friend, and you've got that bond with these people, okay? So I want to talk about confrontations in those situations. So, we all have that, well, most people. If Will was here, we're going to say that he's the only person that I know that has grown up with a fully functional family that did not have any of these examples. I grew up with only these examples, right? So, who has family members, and let's please not put up hands, but who has family members? You always have to walk on eggs around them. Always. Right? You have to make sure that you only share certain information with them because otherwise they can get upset. Okay? You have to make sure that you call them first. If there's a birthday party, they get the first invite. Otherwise, all hell breaks loose. Right? God forbid they were the second person to find out. Okay? I want to talk about those relationships, those people in your life. Okay? Because you've always got to prevent the explosions from happening. And when I was dreaming about this, I had these pictures where, and I had this music playing in the background. It was amazing. And it was so good. And God said to me, the whole family will suffer the consequence for months to come. Behold the family wrath. They will be on that family if you don't walk on X, if you don't prevent the explosion, if you don't make sure that you treat that person with gloves, okay, or the situation with gloves. So that is what I want to talk about, okay? So it's the small things that you never have to think about. You never have to take these things into consideration except when they are involved, right? Then you've got to overthink things, overcompensate, right? So I want to talk about those things. And it's always the small things that escalate and become big things, and it forms a pattern. So you always start walking on eggs. You always start overthinking when they are around. You always start overcompensating when they are around. And then what do we do for that family member? What do we do? We step in and we save the day. We intercede. We resolve. We remedy the situation. We intervene. We become the middleman between the between parties to make sure that there's just no explosions, right? We mediate the situation to make sure the family will all still be alive after today. They will walk out and everything will be okay. No blood splatter against the wall. Not quite as bad, right? But emotionally, okay? So I want to talk about ungodly mediation. It's not quite a familiar term, ungodly mediation. And I said, God, what is that? And he said, it's a dispute in order to bring about a false agreement or a false reconciliation. Ungodly mediation. Why do we do it? We want to keep the peace. We just want to keep the peace. Let everybody just be. Let the family not tear apart. Let's just be staying in a unit, right? If we don't, then our loved ones will be faced with a hostile or argumentative situation and there will be explosions. That's what you see in the spiritual realm, right? There will be confrontation. And God forbid we have confrontation, right? That's how we feel. We don't want to confront people. We don't want to be in that situation. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. It's not something we want to be a part of. And most of the time, I kind of think Christians feel like, oh, they just have to allow people to walk over them. Because we've got to be the good people, right? So just allow people to walk over you and smash you and trash you. And sometimes that's not what God wants, right? Having this in our lives are exhausting. You are always putting out fires, walking on eggs, making sure no one gets emotionally hurt, emotionally exposed, because God forbid somebody gets exposed a little bit to the natural elements of this world, right? We just want to protect the people close to us. Making sure the family doesn't tear apart. So when I grew up, there was a lot of temper tantrums in my house. And my poor mum, you never knew what you were going to get. So she was mediating 24/7, making sure that everything is at peace, protecting us emotionally, and she was doing a great job. But that was her life. The problem with that is, it's not only exhausting, it contributed to anxiety, depression, fear, health problems. Man, there's actually a whole list I can write down because it was our life, right? So it's not good for your health. It's so unhealthy to live in these things and to always be mediating. To step in and to save the day, to intercede, to resolve, to intervene, to mediate. It sounds so good, right? Because you're keeping the peace. You're making sure the family doesn't tear apart. You're doing the right thing. It sounds honorable. But my question to you today is, but is it God? It sounds so good. But is it God? Does God expect us to emotionally harm ourselves and put ourselves in distress to protect others, to mediate? Are we supposed to be taking on that role? Is that a task, an assignment God gave us? So God gave me 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. Let's have a look what the Bible says about mediation, right? It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus came to be the middleman. He came to protect. He came to intercept. When he died for us on the cross, he took that role. God looked through us. God looked at us through Jesus. He saw us spotless, blameless, holy, perfect, pure. And then we come and we want to come and save the day. And we don't do this knowingly. This is the thing. I said to God while I was preparing this message, I said, God, it's a little bit hard. I feel like you want to rip a plaster off. And God's like, no, this is gentle. This is kind. I want to help. I want to liberate. I want to free you through this. Because most of the time we do this and we don't even know we're doing this. We do it most of the time women, out of their motherly instincts. You just want to protect and care and keep together and make right. It's sometimes just part of our nature. But you see, then we come and we try to save the day and we try to remedy. Because I have to make sure this person is okay. I need to make sure this person doesn't take offense. I need to make sure that one doesn't get hurt. And we mediate. Oh man, and the devil has made us blind to this. Because we just think we're doing good. We don't even realize it. But what we actually do, and this is not a little bit of the harsh part, but God really wants to just free people here this morning, is we actually come and we take Jesus' place. We push him aside. We come and we stand in front of him. Because remember, God has given us a choice. He will never force us to do anything. So if he wants to come and he wants to sort out a situation, and you come and you prevent him, he's not going to kick you aside. He will never do that. That's not part of his personality. He gently stands back and he waits for you to finish so that he can carry on with what he would like to do. He's a gentleman, the perfect gentleman. He will never force himself on you. But sometimes, unknowingly, we say, move over, Jesus. I can do a better job. I'm going to mediate. And it looks so right. It looks so good. It looks so noble. But not everything that is good is God. The downside to this is, when we do this, there is a massive, massive consequence to this. So a few weeks ago, I spoke a lot about the spiritual world, right? And we've got to zoom out and we've got to look into the spiritual realm and see the bigger picture, because that's more tangible than the world we live in today, right? So we've got to do the same here. We've got to zoom into the spiritual and see, what are we busy doing when we mediate? What are we busy doing with ungodly mediation? Now remember, I'm not talking about when you deal with your boss or people you don't have these bonds with, love bonds with, family. I'm talking about those people that you really, that's in your inner circles. It's only applicable to this. So I want us to look into the spiritual and see, what are we doing? What are we preventing? Because you see, when we've got these situations in our life where you always have to walk on eggs and you always have to make sure everything is okay, nobody tears apart and the whole family doesn't fall apart, there's a spirit at work there. There's a spirit of control. There's a spirit of manipulation. And it's working in your inner circles. It's working in your inner, well, immediate family. And we don't even know it. We don't even see it. There is a spirit at work controlling, manipulating relationships. And unknowingly, we submit to that spirit because we feed it by ungodly mediation. It's almost like going to a spa. When you go to a spa, you get your feet done, you get a massage and a facial, and it's all nice, and you get nice pampered up, right? When we are busy with ungodly mediation, that's what we're doing in the spiritual world. To the stronghold that's at work. Oh, we're pampering the stronghold. Just don't let him have an explosion. And oh, let's just make sure he doesn't explode. Let's just make sure that everybody is okay, that he doesn't have a fit, so that the family stays apart. Unknowingly, we submit under the spirit. You think you are keeping the peace, but what kind of peace are you keeping? A godly peace? The definition I gave right in the beginning, it said, it's a dispute in order to bring a false agreement, a false reconciliation. Does that sound like peace? Are you bringing on a godly peace or a false sense of peace? So if it's not a godly peace, what is it? If it's a false form, then what is it? If it's not real peace, that means it's demonic. It's from the devil. There's a stronghold at work. So then what are we busy with? So God took me to Mark 11, verse 15 to 17. And we all know this so well, right? That's where Jesus went and he cleared out the temples, right? The word says he drove out people. He knocked over tables, stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. Now imagine that. Explosions. Imagine God coming in here And he takes our tables and he takes everything and he just starts knocking it over. It's an explosion. Can you imagine that happening in here? And we all stand here. Oh, my word. It's an explosion, right? That is confrontation supreme. What God did there, right? Why did Jesus do that? Because the temple was supposed to be a pure and holy place. They chose to make the marketplace impure. But then he came as the mediator between God and he was the mediator between God's holy temple and the people, and he sorted it out. Now, Jesus needs to do that in our families, in our immediate families, in our extended families, and in those close friend circles that we have. But do we need to step aside, consciously step aside to allow God to do that? Because we've already taken in that place. So now we've consciously got to say, I will move myself out of that situation, and God can do the work. Because we can't do it. We can't do it. It's got to be a godly mediation where God takes the place and God does the work. You need to let the explosion happen. Let the impure come to light. Let the Spirit show himself. Now, what I mean by that is in those family situations where you always have to be on eggs, stop walking on eggs. Stop walking on eggs. Stop feeling anxious. Stop feeling fearful. Stop worrying. Stop mediating. Stop walking on eggs and wait for the explosion. It's going to happen. Believe me. But the moment you look into the spiritual realm, the moment you zoom out and you see what's happening in the spiritual world, you won't feel anxiety. You won't feel fear because you will see that is a spirit. I am removing myself. And guess what? I've got a God that's going to come and sort this out. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either that person will choose to deal with that spirit. They will sort it out. They will get rid of it. And the manipulation, the control, all of that will stop. Or it can go to the other way. Because remember, we've got free choice. Some people will choose to hang on to that. And they will not get rid of it. But you know what will happen? They will see that you're not fearful of it anymore. That spirit will recognize you're not fearful of it anymore. You know what will happen? It will keep itself in place when you're around. It will have explosions everywhere else, but not when you're around. Because you won't be tolerating it. You won't be submitting to that spirit, to that stronghold anymore. You have to make sure that it has no hold on your actions, your choices, and how you deal with things. That you will not submit under it. But you have to make sure of that. That is a choice you make. And by stepping out of the way, that's how you do it. If somebody has a temper tantrum or he's had a bad day, has a bad temper, always struggles with his temper, it might be your brother, your sister, your mum, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, they struggle with it, right? Well, sorry, we all have bad days. Stop walking on eggs when you get home. Let him have his temper tantrum. Let him throw whatever he wants to throw. Let it happen. You're not really preventing it by walking on eggs. It's still there. You're not preventing it. There's no peace. Do you live in peace in that house? When you feel that anxiety, that fear closing up, because what if there's an explosion? What if this person freaks out? It's not easy. But we need to step aside and let Jesus do the work. We need to understand that the earth is not eternal. The spiritual world is eternal. And if we come and we give that stronghold a spa day every time it is there, every time you're in its presence, what's happening spiritually? You're not helping your family. You're allowing it in the spirit. You're allowing your family to suffer under this. God gave me Ephesians 5, verse 11 to 17. So this is now a little bit of a long scripture. So we're going to go through scripture for scripture, and I'm going to speak into that scripture, right? So it starts off and it says, do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. How do you make sure that you exemplify personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character, not by joining into the explosion. Definitely not. Not by sinning. Not by throwing stuff back. That's definitely not how. How do you do it? You step aside. You do nothing. You stop walking on eggs. You do the godly thing. You be yourself. You step aside. The explosion will happen. And you just leave it to happen. You don't react to the explosion. You react to God. You don't react to the explosion. You don't react to the stronghold. You react to God. You sit back and you watch the explosion. Let God do it. Let that auntie throw the temper tantrum. Let that uncle get so upset that it almost looks like he goes into some sort of a spasm as he storms off. Let the cousin or the uncle not speak to the rest of the family for 2 years because they are that upset. They weren't invited first. Let them not speak to the family for 2 years. It's going to give you freedom. Let people feel the emotion. If they get hurt, it's their choice. It's not your choice. Let them feel the emotion. And if the rest of the family feel the emotion of that explosion, sometimes the person that's making the explosion needs to see the effects of what they are causing, the devastation, the hurt. Then the verse carries on. It says, "For it is disgraceful even to mention things that such people practice in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For it is light that makes everything visible." So stop mediating. Stop covering it up. Stop preventing. Stop walking on eggs. Stop keeping it in the dark where it can breed and foster. Have the light on it. Let the world see the explosion. Let me tell you, we had explosions before coming to New Zealand, my family. Man, I'm pretty sure you can make a movie. Pretty sure. About 2 months before we came, I had this revelation. I've had this revelation for quite some time, but I never realized I was blinded. I never realized it was in my own family. I was completely blind. We were always on eggshell, and believe me, not only with one person, my entire family, you have to walk on eggshells. So imagine that. You've got 5 people in the room, and you've got to be on eggshells with all 5 of them. Oh man, it's a circus. You can't jump enough on enough eggs. You can't dodge the bullets enough. It's crazy. And then Will figured this whole thing out because we see we had a family business, so he wasn't part of the family business. So he was never there. He never saw the walking on eggs. He never saw anything. But then one day something happened and there was an explosion because Will allowed an explosion. I tried to cover up the explosion. Oh, man, I tried. And it was like, nah, we're going to have this. Oh, man, and I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure in the spiritual realm, it was massive. It wasn't just one. It was everywhere. It was crazy. I'll never forget that night. Oh, man, it got physical. Nobody hurt us. Oh, they tried to. We had people in our faces like this. They're going to hit us now that this is going to become real. God protected us. Threw their glasses, ran off, stormed back up again to come yell again, just ran out, came back up again, ran down again, drove off, drove back, came back up again. Crazy, man. Went out for 3 hours and Will and I just sat. Gave no reaction. My poor mother, she tried to cover this storm and this explosion. I felt so sorry for her. She's been doing it her whole life. She tried, but this was way too big. Will lighted that thing. The explosion happened. You know what? My whole family is free today. My whole family is free today. I spoke to my brother last week, and I told you guys about 2 weeks ago that I spoke to him and I told him about the family secret of me being raped, right? And I felt I had to. And when I started speaking to him about that, he said to me afterwards, "Oh, I thought you were going to ask permission so you can talk about our family stuff." I'm like, "Oh, no, actually, that's not, but thanks anyway. So I've got no problem with you doing that." Why? Because it is that sorted out. It's that healed. Speak about it. Tell the world how horrible I was, because I was. Tell the world that you had to escape the company building, being escorted out because you thought that day I was going to pull a gun on you. That's how on eggshells I lived. Okay, it's not completely the same situation. There was a lot of other things going on there as well. But we had to allow explosions to happen. Oh, I couldn't even have a birthday party, man. I've never had a birthday party where I could have my friends and my family together because I had to be on too many eggshells with my family there. Way too many eggshells. Couldn't have my friends in that space. So I never had a birthday party. My whole life has changed because I allowed explosions to happen. My family is free. God carries on. He says, wake up. Let me do the work. Oh, no, sorry. That's what I wrote. That's not the scripture. Whoopsie. Sorry. That is my notes. It says, for this reason, he says, awake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. And then, my note, wake up, let God do the work. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage. Guess what? Out of all that explosion, I walked out with integrity. I walked out, I still had a purpose. I walked out with honor, because I stood back and God had to sort that whole strung out. He had to sort it out. It takes courage not to intervene or encourage such behavior, to sit back and to only wait and not react. You see, that takes trust in God. You need to trust God to stand back and say, okay, Jesus, I will let you do this. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? It carries on, it says, I'm going to read the first part. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living with honor, purpose, and courage, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, and discerning people. To know, and this is what I wrote, to know that you are not helping your family by ungodly mediation. You're actually enabling the devil to work in your inner circles. God says, make the most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Wisdom and diligence to look into the spiritual realm, to see that there's a stronghold. There's a devil. There's a demonic force working in your inner circles. That is what you want to protect your children from. Not the outwork of it. Not the fleshly person. Whatever's behind it, that's what you want to protect your family from. Because you see, everything is spiritual. And the devil wants a hold on you. He wants to control you. You see, if he's got control of you and he can manipulate you, guess what? He affects your calling. When you reach it, if you're going to reach it, he's got a say in your life then. We need to stop ungodly mediation and treat those people just normal. And sometimes it's scary because you know that there's going to be consequences, but it's not your consequence to face. It's God's consequence. God wants to deal with those people. He wants to have freedom for those people. For your family, for your loved ones. It's all spiritual, it's all manipulation. But we need to step aside, let go, and let God. Oh, that's my timer. So Isaiah 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We do this and we don't know we're doing this. We don't bear the knowledge of this. So I don't want you to go out here and feel guilty and feel bad because there's a stronghold working in your life and you've been enabling it. No, God says no. Condemnation is from the devil. No, don't go down that route. This is me showing you. Have the knowledge. Act on it and step aside. Let the explosions happen so it can draw to a conclusion. Come to an end. God wants to free you in your life. I want to pray for us today as we end. And we have to also forgive ourselves for this. especially if it's been something in your life and you've got situations in your life where this has been going on for years, then we've got to forgive ourselves and say, God, I didn't know. God, I wasn't aware. And God doesn't hold that against you. But now you can take the courage and you can step aside and say, okay, God, I trust you enough. Do this. Do this for my family. And you'll see the breakthroughs, the freedom. I never in my life thought my family would live in so much freedom. I've never really spoken two words to my brother. And now we text back and forth and we've got these conversations I never thought was possible. But the explosion had to happen. And believe me, there was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of hurt with my mom got so hurt. My dad got so hurt. I saw the spiritual, so I didn't get hurt. Because I saw the bigger picture. But you see, when that happened, God broke that stronghold in two. And my brother had to make a choice. Will I continue to have this in my life, or will I let God sort this out? And he's living in freedom, man. He's starting to taste freedom. I can see the change in him. I said to him, I'd sent him a text the other day. That is why I wanted to tell him about the family secret, because I didn't want him to find out on a podcast. Can you imagine? And he said to me, oh, you don't have to be afraid of these things anymore, Nicole. This won't affect us anymore. Out of his own mouth, there's freedom for you and your family in these situations. God, I come to you. God, I want to ask that you please help us to take the courage. Show us these situations where this is applicable in our life, where these confrontations are necessary, Father God, where we stand aside, Father God, and let you do the work, where we stop ungodly mediation. Forgive us, Father, for we did not know what we were doing. But we want you in our lives, God. We want you to take control. We don't want a stronghold in our inner circles. We want you, God, to intervene, to sort out, to come and throw those tables over, Father God. And we just sit back and you do the work, Father God, because you have the ultimate power. You are the most powerful being. We cannot do this. We will fail. Our mediation will fail, Father God. But you are the all-powerful. You are the God Almighty. You can do this, God. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity where we as a church, Father, can sit and we can see these things and you can reveal this to us. I know, Father God, that you want to sort our lives out because there's a harvest coming and then we've got to be ready. And these things need to be sorted in our inner circle so it doesn't draw us back. We surrender to you today, God.